listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kolula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hollywood, this is your host of the most, Nikki Kolula. We're going to jump right into this interview. We have a very special guest, actress extraordinaire, Anjali Khurana. How are you, Anjali?
Thank you for that introduction. I'm well. How are you?
I mean it. You know what? I was reading your bio and I was like, she didn't tell me all this. You know what? What's really cool is like, you're really humble about the things that you've done. And the fact that you went to Harvard and you like didn't really tell me that, I was like, wow. I'm like, this, I would have that stapled on, I'd have it tattooed on my forehead, like, I went to Harvard, where'd you go? Because it's Harvard, you know what I mean? Let's be honest. So the very fact that you went to Harvard, very cool. Let's go way back to the beginning though. When did you first get the love? You grew up in Massachusetts, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When did you first get the love of acting? Was it a Western movie, a Bollywood movie? What made you want to act? What was the moment?
I think probably what was the seed without me knowing that I would want to do that actually like professionally was just, we would have, you know, family Fridays, which would be watching Bollywood films mostly. And we'd also go together to watch other films. But I think part of the thing with, we were growing up in Cambridge and my parents had immigrated there from India. And so part of it was like holding on to your culture, making sure the kids know Hindi, having some connection to it, being isolated from India. So I think that, and then having some family time. So we grew up watching a lot of Hindi films, a lot of Amitabh films. And I probably did often imagine myself doing, you know, being in those films. But I didn't really think much of actually being able to act until probably, I think my first, bit in the sixth grade. And I was a very, very, very shy kid. No, nobody believes it now, which I'm like, I'm not that loud.
but you're very, you can socialize. Like,
yeah,
a lot of Indians, you know this. They're not very good at socializing. So when I see an Indian that knows how to socialize, I'm like, all right, we're going to be friends for a while.
True. Well, so at that time, I mean, if I were sitting, you know, next to someone right here and I didn't know them very well, you wouldn't be able to hear me. I was that shy. My teacher would give, you know, bring in my parents and tell me she needs to be more aggressive, that sort of shy. But we did a little skit. It was to show some sort of historical thing that we were studying at that time. And I was like, wow. That was great. And I got to be in this like fight with my husband, my quote unquote husband in that skit. And I was just like, wow, this feels great. And I think I remember writing, I want to be on TV. But then that kind of got lost somewhere in the whole being pre-med and Indian thing later in life. But I think that was the initial bug. And then probably the other part was just starting in eighth grade. And even before that, I dabbled in dance. I'd done dance classes and been on stage. But then in eighth grade, I started doing Indian classical dance training. And we would perform a lot. That also helped me kind of become more comfortable with myself, but I also love performing. And Indian classical dance in particular is a lot of like theater mixed into dance because it's storytelling.
Right. Do you think that, you know, I'm finding a lot of Indian women, they gravitate towards Indian classical dance. Do you think that's like holding on to the heritage? Is it like a level of expression? Because I find it super cool that there's nothing like that for Indian men. Like there's no artistic thing where it's like, okay, you're going to do this. But I find that a lot of Indian women, and it's so awesome, are involved in Indian classical dance. And I think it's magnificent because I don't see a lot of that for Indian men. Maybe I'm just a coconut. And
Well, you know, Indian men were the ones who started out doing Indian classical dance. But you're right. It is mostly females. Every now and then a mill will make it through the cracks and get it. So we did have a guy in our class, but you're right. I mean, it does tend to be more females gravitating towards it. And I think it is a way to connect with the culture. For me, it was, I saw my sister, who is 10 years older than me. I saw her doing a dance performance of Pirate Not Jim, and I was mesmerized. And I was just, I don't know, maybe it was partly, you know, seeing your older sibling and someone you look up to doing something. But I saw that and I was like, I want to do that. And I was very dedicated to doing it. Like, I would take a train for an hour to go to class on my own. And I would go every week to, like, to learn, and I loved it. And then the other cultural things kind of came out. Like, I'm sure that was partly what connected me so strongly with it, just watching it that time and having grown up. I mean, Bollywood films aren't exactly Indian classical, but they take out.
Yeah, totally.
Yes. So I think, I don't know. And then going there, I think I was like, whoa, there are other brown people here. Like, I hadn't grown up with many around. So I was like, whoa, I didn't know there were other folks like me around. And so that was interesting.
Did you have a community, like, of people that were always taking the same classes or doing recitals?
Well, once you start, at least at this school that I was in, you stay in that class. So you had the same people in that class. Of course, more people will come and get added to it, or you might bounce around a little bit. But for the most part, you have your group of people that you're training with from the start to whenever you start.
Was it in the city? Was it, like, right in Boston, or was it in Cambridge? Where was it?
It was in Brookline. So it's called the Thridaini School of Dance. Nina Gulati had, like, also immigrated here from India, and, you know, she had trained with one of the top Kuchipuri gurus in India, and she also taught Bharatanatyam in Odissi. So she had this little school in the basement of her house, but it was, like, a beautiful setup, beautiful studio.
That's amazing. I just find that, like, when I remember when I was a kid being Indian, there were, like, maybe one or two other Indian kids in my entire city. And so, like, anything like that, it just wasn't really around unless you went to, like, an Indian gathering and, like, had, like, it was, like, way out of the city for me. So, like, I find that it's so cool that there's, like, all these little cultural kind of dance studios involved, like, and kind of bringing in the community. And you're lucky you had that, because I definitely didn't have that, and I didn't have that sense of community. So it's like, I always felt like, okay, well, I can't find as many people as I would like in my community, so I'm just going to have to figure out how to make some friends with of all colors. It doesn't matter. Let's do this.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. I think my friends were also, like, the whole range, because, like I said, until the eighth grade, I thought I was the only one who was Indian in town.
Did you learn how to write and read Hindi as well?
I did. My dad taught me. So I think at some point when I was younger, he wanted me to learn. And then he thought a good way to do so would also be to communicate with my grandmother on my mother's side. So I would write her letters in Hindi, and she would respond to me. So we'd read them together and write them together. So that's how I learned how to read and write in Hindi. And then also, like, when we would go to Delhi and visit family, especially the older relatives, like, my grandparents didn't speak much English, like, the other relatives did. So it was really, like, it was important to be able to communicate through Hindi. But I'm really happy that he did teach me, because I think at that time I had tantrums about not wanting to sit down and learn more.
I tease my parents, because my parents can speak Hindi, Malayalam, a little bit of Tamil, but they never taught my brother and I. They only would speak to each other when they didn't want us to know something.
Yes.
And so they kept it that way. And so we tease them, like, you wanted to keep your secrets and you denied us this other language or languages that we could have learned that would have helped when we go back. But, you know, all in all, it's all good. So tell me.
There's still time.
I'm not going to learn Hindi now. That's going to be a tough.
You totally could. I know some people who are starting Hindi classes right now.
Really? For real? I'm going to have to ask my brother. I'm going to say that's going to be an even harder sell for him, but we'll try.
I mean, I'm in the similar boat with Punjabi. Like, my parents would speak that with each other more, or if they were mad at us or to their relatives, then they'd switch to Punjabi from Hindi or English. So I can understand Punjabi, but I don't speak that fluently. So that's one thing where I'm like, I should have learned that.
There's so many languages in India. It's like, it's so crazy. So you're doing this dance, you're getting the bug of being on stage. Mm-hmm. You're also being pressured to be academic.
Yes.
You get into Harvard, just put that whole artistic side behind you, or do you feel like now that you're in this cultural center, really, of Harvard, because you are in this academic world, but there's a lot of music, there's a lot of art in Boston.
Oh, yeah.
So were you influenced by that, or how did you kind of make that adjustment?
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, I think there was, of course, this pressure to do well academically and all that, but I also liked academics, so there wasn't like, you know, it didn't feel like I was forced to apply there or anything, like I wanted to. But when it came to actually being in college, I think it's a really encouraging space. And like you said, there is a lot of music. There is like, there's a big theater scene. There's a big dance scene. Because I had started dancing a lot,
Sam says there's some static on my side. So
yeah,
hold on just a second. I am going to just click on this link on my phone and we're going to just transfer it. So hold on, Sam, I'm going to transfer the link. Hold on a second, Anjali. Hold that thought, okay?
I will.
Can you hear me?
I can hear.
Hold on. Okay, there we go. Sam, was that good? Is that good for you, Anjali? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, perfect. All right, as long as there's no static, I think we're good. But okay, so Sam says we're good. Sorry about that. All right, go on. So what were you saying about Boston? Sometimes my computer does that. It just likes to act up sometimes, so I apologize.
It's got a mind of its own.
You know what? My cell phone and my computer right now have so much downloaded on hard drives. It's so ridiculous. So I'm just like, just make it through this day and I'll be happy. So when it acts up like this, I'm like, I get it. You're old. I get it. So go on.
So I don't think I ever felt like I had to let go of it because I mean, it is still a liberal arts college. They do encourage like a whole breadth of just learning, whether it's in the arts or you know, other fields or in the sciences or anything. So I gravitated somehow more towards dance just because I think I was mixing both the cultural stuff and the dance stuff. So I signed up to choreograph for Gungru, which is a cultural show. And I was like the only freshman who, it was cool. That's so awesome. I was the only freshman who had signed up to do that. And you know, they didn't think I would do much with it and give me like a little space on the front of the stage while they're doing the backstage stuff as like a filler piece. It was a filler piece.
Hey, you got to get in any way you can. So
I'll take it.
Yeah. And you've come a long way from the shy kid you were telling me about. So this is huge.
Long way.
Right.
So I took that. I was choreographing there. I started auditioning for this hip-hop dance company, Expressions. And at that time, I was still very classically trained, which is like, you know, it's a lot more rigid, not rigid, but it's more structured. And so I remember I auditioned for all of the hip-hop dances, which are like 20 of them. And I got into none because I just didn't have it in my body. But I was determined and... they had the company piece, which you don't have to audition for, anybody can do. So I was like, I will do that. And right. While we were rehearsing for that, somebody dropped out of another piece. And one of the choreographers who was doing the company piece was like, I need someone, anyone. And I was like, I'll be anyone.
Good for you.
Yeah. So then I was just like, I'm going to get this. I can kind of knock the rigidity of classical out. I mean, as long as you can dance, you can adapt to these other forms, but you do have to kind of let go of some of the structure of classical forms. So I did that. And then by the next year, I think I was performing with them. My next year roommate, my sophomore year roommate, we both met because we were the only two freshmen who were chosen to perform in this like competition later that year for the hip hop.
That's awesome.
So yeah, so then I just started dancing a lot. I think I started my own dance company, which was fusion of different cultures and forms of dance. Cause my thing is just like, you can fuse whether it's like Indian classical and step dancing, and that's what we did, or we can do like flamenco and Kathak, and we fused all sorts of forms, but also like brought different colleges together. So it was like community plus like cultural community, multicultural community. And that was kind of all of always my thing. I wanted to combine that sort of thing. So I started another one that was, or we always highlighted a organization that did social service work, and that would also be brought into the dance stuff. But I think whenever I wasn't in dance when I wasn't in class, I was dancing. So
sounds like you had a busy schedule and you're in school. Let's mind you, you're in school during this whole thing. So,
and I'm pre-med. Man,
that is crazy. I was pre-med too. I dropped it.
Oh, you know it.
I dropped it after the first 6 months. I think after the first 6 months, I was like, I'm not doing this.
How interesting.
And no way.
I went through with it, at least through college.
You went through the whole thing?
I went through the whole thing, yeah. Because also my degree was neuroscience, so that a lot of the requirements for pre-med were the same as what my degree was in. But I do remember my freshman year calling my mom and saying, you know, I've decided to do the pre-med thing, but don't get too excited. I might decide not to go. I don't think she heard that second part.
She's like, all I heard is you're in neuroscience and you're going to finish and you can get into med school. That's all I heard. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Later on in life, her introduction to people would be, she went to Harvard, studied neuroscience, and now she's acting.
Well, and you know what? Neuroscience is not an easy degree to get into. Yeah. And you got into neuroscience at Harvard. So obviously you were doing some heavy academic stuff and then pursuing these artistic endeavors, which I love. And you kind of got swayed by it, right? How did it completely captivate you? When was the moment that you knew, I'm definitely not going to do pre-med. I'm going to finish school and then that's it.
I don't think there was ever really a moment as such, but there was a moment where I decided I would go. And actually, you know what? Even that wasn't a moment. So I will attribute my trying it out to even to begin with, to actually a professor who, he wasn't one of my professors, but he would come to all of the cultural shows. And my senior year of college, he knew that I was going to be going to India anyway. I wanted to go to work with an NGO doing healthcare work to see if I really wanted to go into medicine or not. And he said to me, have you ever considered dancing professionally? And I was like, no, I can't do that. I'm supposed to go to med school. I'm like, that's the plan. Right. And he's like, well, here's a number of some guy who used to be a producer way back when. He's in Boston now, but maybe he can connect you with some folks because you're going to be in Bombay anyway. So I took the number kind of for the heck of it, and I went. And then while I was there, just a couple weeks before I was supposed to leave India to come back to the US, again, for the heck of it, I called them and they were like, come in for an audition. And I did. And they said I could sign a year's contract and do backup dancing for these Bollywood tours, which at that time I wasn't ready for. So I wasn't ready to dive into the arts. I wasn't ready to move to India yet, because I had spent some time in West Bengal and then a couple of months in Bombay. And at that time, Bombay was still a lot for me, I think. And I was also working in the slums, so I wasn't necessarily working in the city itself, which is a very different vibe. So I wasn't ready. I went back. I had a job waiting for me in Boston in a research lab. So I was sitting in a research lab for a year. And then I'm like, you know, maybe I'll go. So
you're like, this ain't all it's cracked up to be.
Yeah, exactly. So I was like, you know what, I'll just go for a bit. And at that time I applied to grad school. It wasn't med school. I was just like, all right, I should do some sort of grad school. Cause again, Indian.
Yeah, you have to do it.
So I applied and then I took off. And that's when I went back to India and I was like, all right, I'm doing this. And at that time I didn't go back to sign with this guy. I talked to some local artists and they were like, don't sign with anyone. You can just freelance as a choreographer and dancer. And so I just kind of showed up with a few phone numbers of friends of friends of friends, because I didn't know anyone in Bombay. And I was just like, hi, can you take me to your places? And I mean, I would just meet up with people and they would take me to places. And I did sort of some networking, again, far from that shy person that I grew up as, but
I don't believe this. That's why you're like, I was very shy. But you know, you're living in India, you're kind of like doing all of this, just freelancing and networking on your own. That's not easy. That is incredibly difficult.
Yeah, it was really like a sink or swim sort of thing. It was like, I'm here, I have a few months before I start grad school. If I want to do something, then this is the time. And just going to go introduce myself as a choreographer. And, you know, I mean, I was, but a college choreographer, not really a professional one, but I was, just, you know, go in with confidence. And I booked my first few gigs and I was choreographing, did some music videos, did some live shows, choreographed for some pop artists. And then I deferred grad school for 6 months because I didn't want to leave. And then my next 6 months came up and I was just like, I guess I should go.
Wow.
Yeah. But then
did you feel like there was a transition from living in Mumbai and that's a huge step. Most people don't realize living in a city like Cambridge or, Boston, and then going to Mumbai and just changing your life, that is a huge 180. What was the biggest transition or thing you had to adjust to with that different lifestyle?
I don't know that it felt necessarily like a huge adjustment just because we would go to India every few years. Although that being said, growing up when I would go to India, I would always get sick and leave early. And I was too shy to communicate with people. I didn't feel comfortable going. So I never in a million years would have thought I would move there. But Bombay itself is also just a very welcoming city. I think it really does embrace it. You can find people who are warm and who will, even have you live on their couch if they've just met you. I mean, that's how warm and welcoming it is. So I think it was an easy city in that sense to go into. Of course, it's not an easy city in just how chaotic it is, but the chaos I had seen, growing up and visiting Delhi. And I think I had some sense of adventure in me. Like I even before that, I would travel on my own to places and I liked doing that. So I think that part wasn't so hard. I mean, probably what would the challenging part have been? I think it was more just at that time, it was just, being able to stay in contact with family. I mean, family is so far.
You didn't feel like a culture shock? Because like visiting India, for me, whenever I visit India, it's tons of relatives. Mm-hmm. It's tons of those kind of visits. Yeah. Living in the city would be very different because your daily life is very different. It's not visiting all these relatives' homes.
Yeah.
It's you're finding work, you're networking. Like, how did you figure out where to go, what to do? That's kind of like what I'm thinking about because that would be a huge 180.
Yeah, I mean, there were some, I guess the culture shocks mostly were just like, oh, I don't think Bombay is as different as we make out all of India to be.
Right.
I think we grew up with certain stereotypes of how things are. And maybe because also Bombay is so progressive that was probably a very surprising thing to me where I was like, people are saying some of the same things that we are. Like, it's not that different, except that it's more welcoming, probably. But I do think, growing up Delhi, I don't think I ever got to know it as such because we would go there and, like you said, we would go to relatives' houses and we would go from one house to another's house and we would stay pretty much there and not really get a feel for the city. Whereas Bombay, I went to and, really had to discover it as my own. So I think I really, and later on in life or later on while I was in Bombay, I also visited Delhi and I was like, oh, this is what Delhi is really like. If you're not just sitting at relatives' homes, like there's another side to it that you don't discover unless you're on your own or if you have friends there, which I did have later. But I think the way I discovered it, I was really given 3 phone numbers, I remember, of friends of friends. And I just called them and I was like, hi, you don't know me, but this person gave me your number and I'm new and I don't know anything about this city. And luckily someone I had met in West Bengal when I was working there, he had given me a friend's contact and she was like, you can stay with me for as long as you want. And so I stayed with her for a month, met her I moved in. Stayed on her couch for a month while I looked for a place, figured out my neighborhood, found an expats list where I, found an apartment. But generally, there were people who would just take me to places, events, and then I would just kind of navigate from there and build my community. And that community over time, because I ended up living there, it was back and forth, but I spent about 6 years in India. Over time, that transitioned to initially being more like expats, you find your comfort level within it. But it very quickly grew to expats come and go. But if you're staying there for that long, you start to work in the industry, then it's really, people who are from India or from Bombay or from other parts and have decided to live there, but people who are going to stay there for some time. So the experience of the city evolved over time as well.
And you started working as an actress over there too, right?
I did. Yeah. Yeah. So probably I came back, I went to grad school for 2 years. I missed India a lot. I missed being in the industry. And so I decided to go back to India. And then I was like, you know, I've already navigated the, you know, being in entertainment, and I've always loved acting, and I've done theater, and I've done all of that training. Maybe I could go for an audition. And so I decided to start. And again, there I was very lucky. Like I met a couple of friends, or met a couple of people who became friends, who were also actors, who would just like give me names of casting folks to get in touch with and send my stuff to. And so then I knew I was getting in touch with the right people. You know, there can be your shady types as well. And I wasn't, you know, I was connecting with people who were legitimate, doing great work there, and just sending over my profile. And that's kind of how I got started with acting out there. And that was a bit of a slow process, because as you know, like in this industry, you have to stay in a spot for a little while. For example, right. One casting director who I'd been referred to by three different people, and I sent her my materials, and, you know, she never called me in until 2 years later. I ran into her at an event, and I guess we were chatting, and then the next day she called me in for an audition because I happened to fit a part. And she happened to bump into
timing. A lot of it is timing. We don't realize how important that is, but it's also frustrating because, you know, it's like you send stuff to people and people don't respond for years, months, sometimes never. And it's like, come on. I hate that.
I know, exactly.
Well, let's play a little bit of your actor reel. Let's try. I want to show people a little bit of breadth of your work. So we're going to play Anjali's actor reel. Here it is. Hold on. Let's see which one.
Time to go.
I still have 10 minutes.
And I let you take her half an hour early.
Let me? What the hell?
Lila Boo, why don't you go down the slide again? We can be a little late.
I hope you don't expect me to thank you.
Believe me, I don't expect anything from you.
Like it or not, I'm her mother, so...
What's her favorite book?
What?
How does she like her toast? With butter or jam? In triangles or squares? Crust or no crust? When Lila's having a nightmare, what's the one song that you can sing to her that makes her feel safe?
What, are you testing me?
Fancy Nancy. With butter and jam. Cut into triangles, no crust. She wants you to sing Shakira's Try Anything at least 4 times. Like it or not, I was there for her when you weren't. And no, I don't expect thanks.
Awesome. I don't know if that is right reel. Sorry, my phone is slipping.
That's okay.
But
needs to. Tavan chahta hai ki ye
khele. Tavan is a man of so many talents, nahi?
I feel you're giving up too much for too little. I asked you to arrange a preview screening for me. They haven't responded yet.
India mein bas yahi baat ho rahi hai.
And what are you doing about it, Nikki? You're my manager, right? Spin the story.
See, this short film is a good idea. Hame bas logon ko yaad dilana hai ki tum
abhi kya? Abhi star hoon. Ek behtareen actor hoon. I've done over 30 films, Nikita. Hey, Z, wo film ki trial screening Thursday ko hai, okay? Ridiculous. Nikki?
Yeah?
Could you find out for me who Sara Fonseca's stylist is?
I'll find out.
Go ahead. Open it. Thanks. It's a baby hazmat suit. It'll help protect your baby.
What? I can multitask. I heard everything that you said about Bhavika.
Bhavika?
Okay, let me get this straight. You're getting late, you don't have to pay for dinner or listen to her talk, and you're cribbing because she's not like other girls?
Nana Bhavani.
That's the one. Hey, yeah. What a breadth of cool projects. Tell me step by step which ones you kind of gravitated the most to, or what were the most challenging or most fun to work on?
Gosh, they were all fun to work on. And then I think now I was mentioning to you, I have a more updated one that I still am kind of putting together, which has work from a recent film that I did. It was a Christmas rom-com, which is a lot of fun. Rom-coms are a lot of fun. But I think, you know, Inside Edge was one of the shows that we saw in there, and it's in English, so hit me in English.
Right.
That was Amazon Originals Amazon's first original TV show in India. So they were like part of doing this whole launch thing. And that was very cool to be a part of, like the whole OTT, like streaming platform thing was starting at that time. And that was just before I left India. So it was a great project to work on. And my co-actors were just like fantastic to work with. So
played a character named Nikki. I was like watching that clip. I'm like, oh my God, I'm being called. What's going on? She's playing a girl version of me. I love it.
That's true. Oh my God. See, look at that. We have another connection right there.
That makes sense. Was it hard to kind of like act in Hindi at times, or did you feel like it was second nature?
No, I think initially it was way harder because I was so much more self-conscious about my Hindi and in fact, I think it's gotten better after I've gotten back to the US because like I've lost even more self-consciousness over everything. But I think initially it was very hard. I would have, especially because going into auditions in India, sometimes, especially if it's like an open call for a commercial, just as you're starting out, you might be in front of 50, 75 other actors watching you along with a casting director, just because it's like an open thing. And then that with being nervous, plus, you know, doing it in Hindi, which sure I speak it, but I haven't auditioned in it. So I think that at that time it was very difficult. As time went on and I got more comfortable both with myself and the craft and the industry, I think that started to go away. I mean, I think I started to get much more comfortable with things, but I do remember, you know, there was one, it's not in this reel, but one of my first on set experiences as an actor, not as a dancer, I was playing this reporter and they were just changing a lot of the lines very quickly. And so there, I went and said my piece and it was a reporter. So you already have like 20 fake cameras in addition to real cameras in front of you. And there, I do my thing and I've rehearsed it all good. And I leave and they're like, actually, can you do this too? And they give me a line and it's in Hindi. And I'm like, oh, shit. All right, sure. So I take it and I'm reading it. I haven't finished reading it. And they're all watching because they're ready to go. And so they're like, are you ready? And I was like, can I just read it once? For a couple of times. Can you just give me a minute? So I get that minute with everyone watching and work on it. But things like that were difficult, I think. And I think, you know,
what was the reasoning for the rewrite? Was it just like a director's kind of like he wanted to just do a different choice, or was it like the writers were like watching it and getting inspired by what was happening in the scene?
Oh gosh, it wasn't that it's inspiring. I think they gave away, a line, like somebody earlier in the shoot had messed up a line and they were just moving so quickly. They just told her to sit down and gave that to somebody else, but that means they had to rearrange some other ones for other people as well. So they just added some more for me. So that's what it was really. And even at that time, they were about to hand it to this other girl who was about to go up as the next reporter. And then they're like, never mind, you just do it. So it was a very like, on the fly, memorize in front of everyone, which is scary, but to those things I think now would be easier for me to handle just because I'm way more comfortable with all of that. Yeah. So probably by the time Inside Edge came around, I was much more comfortable with it, but I was still like a little on edge with things. But people like Richa Chadda, who I was acting with, but also the director, they were all like really great and supportive to work with. So I think that all just got a lot easier in general.
What was the music video part of your reel? What was that?
That actually was a very challenging shoot, not because the crew, the director, the writer director Rima Sen is amazing. She's doing all these things that are qualifying for Oscars and things now. But she and I worked on this, and what was difficult was I was very sick leading up to it. And so the night before, and they actually came and auditioned to me while I was still like getting over maybe a cold. they came, we had worked together on a commercial a few weeks before that, and they had seen, and this is maybe some of the power of social media, but they had seen something that I posted, a picture that really fit the look of this one. And they were like, hey, can we audition for you for this? And I was like, I'm so sick right now. And this right. was COVID. So they're like, cool, we'll come over and do an audition. And I did that, got the part, but I was still sick leading up to the shoot. So the night before, I was just like, I went to the doctor and I was like, give me whatever you have. I need some antibiotics. I need to shoot. And that ended up being an 18-hour shoot with fog and really heavy clothing and jewelry. And I was basically a robot. And so I was like plugged into the wall part of the time. So some of the time I couldn't even leave. If it was a short break, my co-actor would be like, all right, I'm going outside for a smoke, and I'm stuck to a wall.
You're like, I'll be here if you need me.
They're like, you can leave too. And I'm like, no, it's just too much effort. I'll just stay here and take in the fog smoke. And it ended up being an, you know, it's a low budget indie thing. So it ended up being an 18-hour shoot.
Wow. But,
you know, when you're shooting, I think you just like forget that you're sick, and sometimes that you just use it.
Well, that's the part of performing. I think it's like it takes you out. It's a little bit of escapism. It's like mm-hmm. it takes you out of reality. But one thing I really want to mention with that shoot, it's your face just speaks so much. Like I knew you were a robot in it because of the way it was like you like gave these lifeless eyes and then gave life full of eyes. You know what I mean? Like it was like this weird transition. And that's why I was like, this is like the Indian iRobot for some reason. I don't know what it is, but I had to ask. So, are you always kind of challenged with like, it can be anything on the map, or there certain kind of characters that draw you to the roles?
Honestly, I'm happy to do anything on the map, honestly. And I think the more varied, the better. I like, you know, when people also ask me to choose between drama and comedy, I'm like, I like them so much. I could do drama and comedy. Can I do dramedy? Like, I just want to do it all. So I don't know that I gravitate towards one in particular. I think even when people ask if I would do another rom-com Christmas movie, I'm like, hell yeah, it was so fun.
Throw it up, let's do it. Well, let's play something. I'm going to let you choose. What do you want to play us next?
Oh,
we have 7 clips that you sent me.
I'm so sorry.
No, it's all right. I want to make sure we get to them, you know?
Oh gosh. There's one.
I have a theatrical reel, commercial reel, dramatic scene, comedic scene, dance choreo, spoken word piece. You choose.
You know what? There's one that I sent you this morning, which I suppose that I don't know if that's part of the 6.
Let me see which one. The one you sent this morning, we did not get, but we got all the ones up to yesterday. So whatever 7 you want to do, we did. June reel update. You want to play that one?
Yeah, let's just do that one. And then, you know, it's a long one, but we can just cut it whenever you feel, I think. But
wait, let me see. I don't know if we have that one. Let me make sure. Hold on. Okay. I think we have, let's do the dance choreo spoken word piece only because we talked so much about that part of your life. Let's play that. And then we'll come back to this. Okay.
Okay. Sure. Sure.
All right. Here's the dance choreo spoken word piece. Sam, did you get that? Oh, he says he doesn't have it. How does he not have it? All right. So let's play. Say again.
Do you want me to send you something here?
I don't know if we'll have time to upload it, but let's see. Let's do the comedic scene. Let's do comedic scene. How about that?
Sure.
All right. Here's comedic scene.
Happy anniversary. 1 year. I can hardly believe it. It's been magical. Blow it out! We have been through so much, Harold. So many ups and downs, twists and turns, and the breakthroughs. Oh, God, the breakthroughs.
Again, I don't consider us deciding on the color of your low light.
The implications of that decision were enormous. Speaking of which,
I've had another breakthrough. A big one. You know how you're always going on about how I'm never self-reflective and how I'm not comfortable in my own skin and how do you put it? I can never get tired of hearing you say it.
You use men and alcohol as crutches in order to avoid your real feelings?
Yes! Exactly. And you know, you're right. I do need a major change. I finally get what you've been saying all this time. So, I'm gonna get a boob job.
I don't think we can see each other anymore.
What?
Joe, you consistently refuse to deal with any real issues, and until that changes, I don't think this will work.
I don't understand. It's our 1 year anniversary. You're breaking up with me?
I wouldn't categorize it as that, but...
All of this time I've invested in this relationship and you just dumped me out of nowhere on our anniversary?
Joe.
You know what? I don't know. Let me guess. It's not me, it's you.
That was awesome. You talking with your mouth full was awesome. I have to say that was a cool choice. Tell me, you know what's cool about that? It's like, you know, no one really understands how hard it is to do an audition reel and send stuff in. Tell me like how you conjure emotion, energy when you're just doing it like in a room by yourself with a camera, nothing else. Tell me what that process is like.
I think, you know, when I'm reviewing a script for an audition, I visualize it and I kind of see how it plays out. And I think, you know, the thing with being in a room on your own, at least these days, you can have a reader, you know, call in a reader who can do it with you, but you play it like you're really doing whatever the scene is for real. Like, you know, it's part of the job. So you're on the job, even though you're doing an audition. So, you know, as you try to make it as real as you can without all the extra stuff, like you don't actually have the person with you in the room or anything like that, but everything else you kind of try to fill in. It is a different, I mean, auditioning is obviously very different than being on set itself because you have everything laid out
for right.
you. Have
right.
like, the atmosphere created for you. So then you just have to like do a lot more imagination. You have to, you know where your looks are, but you treat it or you try to treat it the same way you would, you know, getting onto set. You don't have
I think it's harder to do it like that, like the
it
way
is.
You do.
It
because
is.
There's nothing to draw from. You're just, it's almost static. And it's like you're having to create all the energy and movement and emotion out of nothing. So good on you to even just be able to do that, because I know that's not easy. We're going to play the rom-com clip because we've been talking about that. So here's the rom-com clips with Anjali Khurana.
You started it.
Okay.
Ooh. Mm. See, there we go.
Oh. Okay. I don't think this helps.
Oh. Okay, so, I do this with my crew, 10-minute dance break.
Wait, so you have a soul-crushing deadline and you stop working and dance?
We do.
Does it help?
Not always.
Oh my goodness. So then what?
There we go, give me some hip. Go.
What do you love most about Christmas?
I don't know.
Take your time.
I mean, I love everything about Christmas, but I don't know. Does it seem like every year it just gets a little less, like something's missing?
Like what?
Like when I was a kid, Christmas used to be this huge deal. And now the stores change even as early as September, and I still feel like I don't have enough time to fully get into it.
Hmm. Well, you know, the amount of time that we have never changes. It's just how you use it.
I don't even send Christmas cards anymore. And I don't get any either. Don't know.
Hmm. Sounds like you need a lot more dance breaks.
Your life outside of work?
Dance lessons?
Just feels like if I let up for just 1 second, I just fall behind.
Oh, you need support.
I have a team. And I don't know that we can work any harder.
Yeah, very cool. So tell me you love rom-coms. Tell me what was the story behind this scene and kind of like what went into it.
Yeah. So the story, there are two competing meteorologists who get stuck in a small town and in a snowstorm. And they end up having to work together, and you know, she's very focused on what she needs to get done, and he's very much more lenient with everything in life. So this is them sort of like coming together a bit and starting to feel a little bit of the attraction, a little bit of the Christmas spirit, a little bit of like how they both can get along.
And you know what's cute? It's like you can tell, like, what I love about movies like that, it's just easy material to just get into right away. It's like, that's what makes it. You have to cheese it up a little bit at times because it's like, that's part of the material. But that's why Saved by the Bell was such a huge show. It's like, it's so easy to just get into and just be like, okay, I can get into this rather than all, there's so much heavy stuff out there, which I'm sure is a little bit more fun to play. But I kind of feel like you can make it what it is, and you do. Do you feel like chemistry with the co-star has to be something that you're planning and expecting, or do you think it's just like a wide open gamut? It's like as far as what can happen with your co-stars, as far as scene connections?
I mean, of course, I think it's, you know, you work on building that chemistry. I think with Landon and I, we were just like naturally, we got along very well. We did make a little effort. I mean, we met each other for the first time maybe 2 days or 3 days before shooting when we were all doing a table read virtually. And then we're like, we should meet up in person maybe. And so he and I went for brunch before starting just to like have some sort of rapport. But we generally were both silly. We both like to joke around. We also both like to just experiment on camera too. So that came out. And I think we had a director who was just like, okay, like, do whatever you want for this, like have fun. And I, of course, like in this film for the most part, especially the first half, I'm the much more serious type, so I'm like, yeah, he's getting to have all the fun. But I think our chemistry did, you know, I think we naturally just were very comfortable with ourselves but with each other, and then with like experimenting with whatever we could try. So in a scene like this,
did you get a chance to rehearse or anything like that, or was it just like you're just on set and you're ready to film?
Ready to film. I think what we did was table read, and then he and I read a bit after our brunch again, like read through it again on Zoom. And that's it. No rehearsal. Wow. But and this director in particular was very much like, I don't do more than three takes. Like, we're going to get it within three or we're not, but that's all we're doing because this is an indie film. We got to keep moving. So I think, It was a fun shoot to work on, though, because he wanted it to like be bringing out our personalities. And one thing he had said, because we're on such a short timeline to shoot it, I mean, we shot the whole film in 12 days, doing 12 to 14 hour shoots. Wow. So he said, yeah. So he said, you know, in your, like when he was talking to me about my audition, he's like, something that you said earlier, he's like, you can see the emotion on your face right there. So like, he's like, that's what I needed. Like, so that it could just happen quickly. You know what you're thinking? Move on.
Well, you either have it or you don't. It's like your face has to tell a story, and you have that for sure. So it's interesting to see like your different aspects, from the auditions to like doing something finished to doing something in a different genre, a different language, how you kind of like tap into whatever it is to get into the character. You have a short film coming out, correct?
I do, yeah.
Tell us a little bit about this. It's been winning some awards, so talk about that.
Yeah, so it is, it's a musical film. So it was originally supposed to be a music video for the song made, recomposed. It was a Noor Jahan song called Ek Tera Pyar that was recomposed by Convict. The director, Sandeep Morrison, decided to really make a narrative film out of it, though. And now it's become a short that has started on the festival circuit. So it was
That's
submitted.
Awesome. That's exciting.
Yeah, it's really exciting. So it's a Punjabi queer love story, Punjabi queer Sikh love story. So that's also like a very specific, you know, it's Punjabi Sikh. You don't necessarily see that being shown on film, like a queer love story. But also it was, as Cynthia.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
Yeah. And then, you know, they also talked about, you know, older, you know, the older generation who really didn't get to see these love stories play out in real life. So Sandeep, when writing this, they talked about it being sort of a love letter to all the Masis and the aunts and uncles that never really got to live out those love stories in real life because of all the constraints of society. So it's a really short film, but it, you know, shows these two women who fell in love and then they are, you know, separated, brought together later in life. And so it's quite it's a really short emotional ride. And yeah, right now, actually this past weekend, it premiered at Kashish Film Festival in Mumbai, which is South Asia's biggest queer film festival. It's supposed to be, I don't know if this has yet been announced, but it is supposed to be part of Outfest this year as well.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. And then we're just submitting to other festivals. It won a Global Music Award. It got Sandeep Morrison got mentioned for her their directing on this as well.
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
That's
really
exciting to be a part of something that's doing the kind of like the tour, you know, like you have to do the tour when it comes to film festivals where it's like international, you don't know which ones are the big ones, which ones are the small ones. It's kind of like which ones you get into determine where you're going to kind of premiere it at first. Are you kind of excited just to see it kind of getting received and the reception being what it is?
Oh, very much so. Yeah, I think it's been great to see it. It was scary to watch the actual thing. So we had a small screening here, but it's been great to see it being received so well, going to festivals. Sandeep at the very last minute went and flew out to India to rep the team for this film,
wow,
which was pretty amazing. So I'm seeing updates coming in from that just from this past weekend. It's pretty cool to see. It's also just cool to see. I mean, a lot of the cast and crew, you know, came from BIPOC plus LGBTQ community. So it was just like
right,
a lot of higher visibility on it. And, you know, and then for me, like as an ally, like it was just like really great to see it coming together and resonating with people. So
that's amazing. Where can people find you if they want to cast you in something or they want to ask you to be in a next Indian commercial, American commercial, movie, music video, etc.?
Yeah, well, I have a website. I guess that might be the easiest thing to relay over here. And that's just anjalikhurana.com.
Spell it out because people are dumb.
Yes, so it's www.anjalikhurana.com. I'm getting my voiceover thing in here. Like, I
That's
feel like
right.
I'm doing
there
voiceover.
You go. See?
That, or I have my Instagram, which is it's at Khurana Sahab, which means Khurana Sir in Hindi. But
Spell it out, because not everybody went to Harvard. One more time.
So it's, and also people spell it differently in different ways, but it's at KHURANASAHAB. And it's a really, I mean, it's a silly name for the US. It doesn't work so well. I made it when I was living in India because there's this villainous character who goes by Khurana Sahab in this one Bollywood film. And so whenever I was on set, people tended to either address me by my last name, Khurana, or by Khurana Sahab. And I was like, oh, that's funny. I like it. But yeah, it doesn't work as well in the US.
That's mine. I'm going to take that for sure.
I'm going to take it.
You got to find whatever the niche is. You just got to find it, and that's it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, it's true.
Yep. Yep,
people absolutely now address me as Khurana Sahab. I'm like, okay, I guess that works. They were doing it anyway before. But
well, Anjali, you have an open window because I just adore you like crazy to come on the show whenever you have something you want to showcase. We want to follow your career. That's the whole reason I built this platform. This is what we do. We follow artists and showcase whatever works they're working on. So please come back, and thank you for being a guest on Wake Up Hollywood. We appreciate you so much. And thank you also for being willing to pre-record this. We're pre-recording this, people, because my schedule's been crazy. And you know what? Anjali is just awesome. So I can't stop singing your praises. You're amazing. Thank you so much for being a guest on Wake Up Hollywood. Did you have a good time? See, it wasn't that crazy, right?
I had a great time. And I have to say, you're amazing, too. And I adore you as well. And I so appreciate you having me here. This has been so fun.
Well, it's an open invitation. I'm going to have you back in about 9 or 10 months. And we're going to showcase more stuff, what you're doing. We'll play some of the short that you have that's about making the tour right now. But for now, we just wish you the best, and you're all good vibes, and we got to hang out. We got to have coffee soon, so we'll make that happen, okay? We'll you heard it here first.
Now you got to keep your promise.
That's right. On behalf of Anjali, Sam, and myself, we'll see you guys next week. Take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. Peace and love.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kourula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.